144 in your Bibles today, the book of Psalm and chapter 144. We're getting close to the finishing up Psalm. And of course, we haven't looked at every one of them, but we've looked at many of them to get a good understanding of the Psalms. And just to refresh ourselves on Psalms, it's been a little while since we've been here, but we're going to pick up today. But just to refresh ourselves with the book of Psalms, how many of you can tell me what the book of Psalms is intended for? To be sung. That's exactly right. These Psalms were not written just to be read. They were written for the purpose of singing these Psalms. This is the important. Somebody give me one of the writers of the book of Psalms. David. Who else? Solomon. You know anybody else? What's that? Asaph, right? And I can't think of any more, so I won't know if you're right or wrong. Okay. But no, there are some others, and there's some that we do not know who wrote the book of Psalms. Are the book of Psalms written in a chronological order? No, they're not written in a chronological order, but they are written in accordance to how they either impacted the children of Israel or impacted the writer. And so I think it's wonderful that God recorded these Psalms for us, because these were wonderful songs that were sung in the temple. Can you just picture? And by the way, when they started to sing them and they were going to the house of God, they were immediately supposed to begin singing when they left the threshold of the door of their home, and they walked the streets of Jerusalem up to the temple. And so you can just picture all these hundreds of thousands of God's people walking to the temple, and they're all singing these songs in praises to the Lord. What a blessing. I think that's a little touch of heaven. Music is a little touch of heaven. Amen. And so we're going to pick up Psalm 144. It is a psalm of David, and it is actually a psalm called a psalm of war and peace. Now, David is known as a man of war. He was not a large man in stature. He was not, there was a lot of things he was not, but he was blessed by God. God had his hand upon him. God anointed David. He was anointed by God. And God had his hand on David in a great way. And David was known as a man of war. Now, David did not like war. David did not like battles. But God used the battles in his life to prepare him, to prepare the children of Israel for greater things. You know, if God's getting ready to use somebody, he tests them often with a battle, because God wants to temper us and make us stronger and more like him through our battles and through our troubles. And so it's a picture, war is a picture in the Bible of the struggles that we face and the battles that we face as Christians. You're going to face battles, aren't you? You're going to have them. They're inevitable. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to have them, but they have a purpose from God. And so we see some of that purpose in Psalm 144. So we're going to read the entire chapter this morning, and trust you'll follow along this morning as I read it. Verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning, and thank you we can look at it and study it. And we just ask you'll bless these next few moments as we open our hearts and our minds to the word this morning. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to look at thy word and open our hearts and our minds to what you're saying in your word to us. And Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your blessings. And bless now what we say, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, to introduce this psalm, we see here that it was written at a time when David had recently become king. And we know that because we see that his enemies were not yet subdued. Now, there was one main enemy that took David a great challenge, and that was the Philistines. The Philistines were the great enemy of David at the time, and they had come in and taken over much of the land, and Saul had not been able to defeat the Philistines. And so David was asking God to help his enemies to be subdued so that there can be peace in Israel and there can be God's blessings. You know, that's a great desire, is to have a life where you live a life of peace. And by the way, I'm referring to the turmoil that sin brings and the turmoil that evil can bring. Evil brings a lot of turmoil into our life. It brings a lot of trouble and a lot of sin. And sometimes other people's sins affect us. And David hints at that here in the latter part of the passage, of how other people's sins affect us. And it is true. You know, the Bible even teaches that sometimes our sins are visited upon future generations. And boy, if there's one thing that makes us want to live right and please the Lord, it's a thought like that. Because I don't want to pass on sin to the next generation and the next generation after me. I want God's blessings on my children and my grandkids. Amen. Amen? And so he intimates here that his enemies were not subdued. And so David's talking in terms of warfare. And he's really going to the Lord in prayer, and he's saying, Lord, what are we going to do about our enemies? And but I love David's spirit. His spirit is always that the answer comes from God and God's word. And David's always of that mindset. He doesn't defer from that. He knows the power that God has. And he asks God. God, he knows, is greater than the Philistines. God can defeat him at any time. And so David God's man, this man that's called a man after God's own heart, comes along and he defeats his enemies. And you know that in the latter years, God gives David and his kingdom peace. And there was great peace. And I believe this psalm prefaces a lot of why God gave them such peace in the land of Israel. And so let's look at it. Let's break it down by outline this morning. So number one, let's notice verse 1 and 2, God enables David. God enables David. Now notice, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight." Now, who was the one that enabled him to fight and his hands to be at war? God did. And David recognizes God. Now, I think we ought to recognize God in every part of our life. There is no such thing as a self-made man. There is God-made men. God makes men. There is nothing about man that can enable us to have strength. We're weak. We fail. And he mentions that in the next verse, when he looks at verse 3, he says, "Lord, what is a man, or what is man, that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest count?" Who are we? Man, verse 4, is like to vanity. So he says, "God, you're the one that enables me." You know, I've often heard a Christian say, I just can't overcome this. Or I just cannot win this temptation in my life. I want to tell you something. That's not true. God can enable any Christian. Somebody once said the key to avoiding temptations is to get up every morning and pray and ask God every morning to help you with that specific temptation. That's good. I like that. And so David's saying here, "God, I'm not a man of war, but you taught me how to fight. I'm nothing. But Lord, it's you that does this in me." Wouldn't it be good if we recognized in every area of our life that it is God? Well, I've heard men say, I've made millions of dollars. Well, no, God gave you the mind to earn those things. Everything goes back to God. Amen. And David recognizes this, and we ought to live with this recognition in our life that it is God, that in him we live and move and have our being. In everything, it's all of God. And it helps us live this life not just depending on ourselves, but depending on God. And that's faith. And God wants that. Now, that does not mean that we can do whatever we want to do and say, "Well, God didn't help me." Some people will find any excuse they can. But that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that, "God, I'm weak. I'm a human. I'm just enabled, but God, I can, through your power and your strength, live a victorious Christian life." Amen. Boy, there's nothing better than a victorious Christian life. Yeah. Amen? And you know, David had some wrongs in his past, didn't he? He had sinned with Bathsheba. And then on top of that sin, he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah sent to the front of the battle or he would be killed. And he paid a heavy price for that sin. But you know, our past, we should go to God and ask God to forgive us of our past and cleanse us. And you know what's amazing about God is God, when we do that, God doesn't hold it over our head. Amen. He forgives us. Now, sometimes we have scars. Sometimes we have scars in life because, you know, we didn't follow the Lord. But the Lord will forgive us and give us new footing again and help us to go on in the Lord. And that's a blessing. And we need to know that. So David here, war is a part of his life, but God enables him. David didn't choose war, but God needed a man at that time, pro. I don't know how that got in there. I just had to read it. Just see if you were paying attention. Okay. All right. But God needed a man at that time. Now, God enables him, and he talks about five things here that God enables him to do. Number one is strength. Strength, daily strength comes from God. Amen? Amen. And then he said, God teaches me. Do you know the Holy Spirit of God in John chapter 16 is our guide and our teacher? The Holy Spirit teaches us his word. David said, I can't fight battles. I can't win against these Philistines. Lord, you have to teach me. You teach my hands to fight. Show me, Lord, what to do. And he was victorious, wasn't he? And because God, he attributed his strength to God. You know, there are times when we don't have the strength, but we should not accept that. We should go to God and say, God, give me your strength. I need your strength today. And you know, the Lord provides it. The Lord will give it. Amen. The Lord will give us strength. And he teaches us, gives us strength, teaching. And then he talks about the goodness of the Lord. The goodness, my goodness, verse 2. God is my goodness. Man, I'll tell you what, God's been good to me. God has been good to me. And I just think of some things in life that God's been good to me in. Man, we should recognize God's goodness. You know why? You know why recognizing God's goodness is important? It's because it leads us to gratitude and thankfulness. And if we're not thankful, and you go to Romans chapter 1 and you see what happens when a person is not thankful, they drift into evil and vile affections, according to Romans chapter 1. It talks about, I think verse 21 talks about, neither they were not thankful, so God gave them up to a reprobate mind. You know, this ingratitude is a big sin in the eyes of God. And to take for granted everything that God has done for us. You know, you think about it. We live in America. America is going crazy. I mean, corruption in high places, evil is all around us. But you still think of the blessings that we have in this country. I mean, you just stop and think of your blessings. It's good to go to God every day and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I don't deserve them, but God, you are my goodness. You're my goodness. And I think every time you sit down for a meal, you ought to pray and thank God for his goodness. Even in the restaurant. Amen. Praise the Lord. I knew a preacher one time who was really bold. And whenever it came time to pray in the restaurant, he stood right up. His food was brought. He stood right up. He said, can I have your attention, please? He said, it's time to eat our meal, so would you bow your head and pray with me? Amen. The whole restaurant bowed their head and prayed. The preacher's praying, bow your head and pray. He prays, thank you, Lord, for the food. Help every one of these people here to be saved if they don't know they're saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Sat down and ate his lunch. Amen. I still like the old-fashioned bold preachers. Amen. So he's saying, God, you're my goodness. Oh, God is good. God is good. Man, I think we just need to revel in that sometimes. To just wallow in the goodness of God. I think it'll do us some good. Because God is good. You say, well, God hadn't been good to me. Let me tell you something. I've heard that. all these troubles in my life. And you know what it is? Some people just focus on the negative. Yes. Focus on the problem. They may have two or three problems in their life, and they lose sight of all the other blessings that God has provided in life because they're too busy focused on those negative ones. And, you know, if you weigh, you put your blessings on one side of the scale and you put your burdens on the other side, I guarantee you your blessings will come down about heavier than your burdens. Amen. It's what we focus on. It's what we focus on that makes the difference. And this, David, he is purposely focusing on God. Now, you remember he had to run from Saul. He was running from Saul. He didn't want to do that. But he didn't get in on his face and have a pity party. Oh, Lord, why did you send this burden into my life? Oh, Lord. He just accepted the negative in his life that God was going to work through it somehow. You know, I think when you grow in the Lord, you learn to accept the negative things that come in life. Let me say that again. When you grow in the Lord, you learn to accept the negative things that come along in life because God uses them somehow for His good and His glory. Amen. We have to believe that. Amen? When we were heading to Brazil, we had everything planned. The whole trip was planned and we were going to get down there. Man, God sent a storm and diverted us. We even ended up in New York City. How could that be of God? I don't know. We even ended up in New York City. Then on the way back, we had more diversion. But you know what? God had a reason and a purpose. When you're in the will of God, there really is no negatives. When you're in the will of God, there really is no negatives. Because when you're asking God for His will and to guide you in life, He is the one that is controlling the situations in our life to make us better. But all too often, many Christians let the circumstances in life get them bitter. I get bitter, critical, unhappy, discontented. But you know, David never did that, thank God. And you know, he knew that God had purposes in his life. God was good. God is good. And then he talks about God's protection. He looks at God as a fortress. God is my fortress. I like that. He's this wall around me. You know, they used to build walls in ancient cities so thick. Like the city of Jericho was so thick that they said you could drive two chariots side by side on the top of the wall. That's a thick wall. Ain't nobody getting through that wall except God. God took down the walls of Jericho, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But he's saying, God, you're my fortress, you're my protection. And yeah, we need earthly protections. Yeah, they built a wall around Jerusalem for the enemy. But David, his spirit was, God, you are the one really protecting me. In other words, David was giving God glory for everything in life. He was not attributing man's hand to his blessings. He was attributing God's hand to his blessings. He was saying, God, I don't want you at all to think that I'm doing anything. I want to know, and I know that you do it all. You're everything. And I just want to be in your hand. So God was his protection. And then notice this. He said, God is my high tower. Verse 2. And I got to thinking about what that might mean. Well, it was a custom for cities to build a high tower. And they would often build it in the middle of the city. And the high tower would stand above the city. Jerusalem had a high tower. And they would go up into the tower. They could see over the walls and see enemies coming from every direction from this high tower. It was a place where they could oversee, where they could see over everything. You know, I think a Christian needs a high tower in their life. Because, you know, when we have sickness or trouble or evil, we have to be able to see above things that are occurring in our life. Amen? We have to be able to have a high tower to look over and say, oh, I see why God wanted that. I can see things better. The higher you go, the better you can see things below. That's good. Amen? The higher you go, the better you can see things below. And boy, you know, David knew this. He said, Lord, you're my high tower. You see it all. You know what's going on. There's nothing hid from you, God. You know these Philistines and how they're trying to devise evil against your people. You understand that, God. You're my high tower. You're my strength. Boy, this is good. Amen?
Amen.
So then he goes on here and he says, God is my escape. God is my escape. You ever escaped something? You ever escaped something? Prison? Any of you ever escaped? Just kidding. You ever escaped? Isn't that a neat thought to escape something? Man. You know, there are times when great troubles could happen to us. But God allows us often to escape those things. There's a YouTube video of people who narrowly escaped tragedy. And there's a lady, and she's walking across the street, just having a fine old day, just do-do-do. And a great big truck tire came off. I mean, a huge, like twice as tall as her. It came off, and it's rolling down the hill. She's just walking across. And all of a sudden, she's walking across, and the tire comes rolling down. If that tire hits her, she's in trouble. That tire rolled down the hill, and you can just see it, and you're like, what's going to happen? And then, boom, right as she passes, the tire goes right behind her. She just keeps walking along. She had no idea that tire was even there. I mean, she narrowly escaped death. That tire hit her, and she wouldn't have had any idea what hit her. And apply that spiritually. Aren't there times, so many times in life, that God's our escape? We focus on the times that we didn't escape the trouble. But we should focus on so many times that we are escaped from trouble. God's good. God does these things for us. Praise the Lord. Hold my mule while I shout. Amen. So let's move on. Number two, God showed that he cared about David. Well, that's good too. Verse 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like vanity. His days are as the shadow that passeth away. Now he's comparing man with God. He's saying, Lord, why would you even have an interest in us? Why do you even care about us? We're vain. We're vain. Humanity can be very vain. We can be very self-focused and self-centered. And we forget God. And our days are as a shadow that passeth. He said, God, we're here and we're gone. Why do you care? But you know, it's the great focus of God to focus on man. Do you know, God's not interested in all the things he creates. His interest is in man. And we know that because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the purpose of God. God focuses on man. God focuses on that lost man. And so God subdues his enemies. David recognizes God's power to do that. And David knows that the evil that the enemy brings, number three here, God subdues his enemies, according to verses 5 through 8. Now it says, bow down the heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children. I like that, strange children. You ever seen any strange children? Okay. Now, he's not talking about that connotation. He's talking about, in the Old Testament, the Bible, God wanted the children of Israel separate from the Edomites, from all the other groups. He wanted them separate from the Canaanites. That's why when God gave them the land, they were to kick them all out. They were all to get out of the land. God did not want them to assimilate. Why? Was it because God is a God who favors certain people? No, it was because the evil influences of them would come and affect God's children. You know, it's kind of like putting your kids out there in evil influences. Chances are they're not going to influence the evil for good. Chances are the evil is going to influence them for bad. And this is what David's saying. He said, I don't want the children of Israel influenced in that way. Now, the Philistines were just a downright evil people. They would come in and attack the children of Israel. They would kill the men. They would rape the women. They would be very evil and destructive. They would do things to try to assimilate into the children of Israel. And one of the reasons they did that, according to 1 Samuel, was because they wanted to be a part of the blessings that came from the children of Israel. But they couldn't. They were not God's chosen people. Now, we do see some exceptions. You know, there's a man named Obed-Edom in Scripture. He was a Philistine. But Obed-Edom had respect for God. And David actually housed the ark in the home of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the ark of God stayed there for 3 months. And Obed-Edom later became one of the singers. I believe that's right. I might be wrong about that. And his heritage was a heritage that served the Lord, a Philistine. And God blessed him. But these Philistines that he's talking about were God haters. They were evil. And God did not want his people to assimilate with them. And you know, it's in some respects the same with the world today. God's people have got to stay away from the world. The world will influence us. The world will turn us from God. They will put out our fire for God if we get too close to the world. And, you know, the world ought to have a different mentality than the world. We ought to think differently. God's people ought to think in different ways than the world. We're different. It's not because we're better. But it's because we're saved by grace. The grace of God is the difference. So I think that's what he's teaching us here. Okay, so then he goes on and he says, God subdues our enemies. David recognizes God's power. We serve a powerful God. We serve a powerful God. And he knows that the evil that the enemy brings. according to verse number 7. All right, let's move on. Number 4, then, David sings to God, verses 9 and 10. Notice verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery. Now, did you ever stop to think this is where the name Psalms came from? It came from an instrument. Now, psalm means song or singing. And the psaltery came from it. In other words, there's an instrument that is connected with singing. And I looked up a psaltery to see what it is. And it's a stringed instrument. It's like a dulcimer, if you will, today. I can't really explain it. But it's an instrument that was used combined with singing. And so they call it a psaltery. All right. And then he said, often an instrument of 10 strings. Now, I could not find anything about this, but what I know is that the more strings a stringed instrument has, the more skill it takes to play it. All right? Is there anybody who plays like a banjo? I understand a 7-string banjo is harder to play than a 5. I don't know. Those things, I don't know. But I understand the more strings you have, there's a lot of strings attached to that. Yeah, but it's, you know, so anyhow, I just had to say that. It was just, it was fun. Yeah, you enjoyed it too, I know. Amen. So he's showing his skill to serve the Lord. You know, it's good that a person develop a skill to serve the Lord. Amen. It's good a preacher goes to Bible college and learns and studies. He's developing a skill. That's good. A musician learns how to play an instrument. That skill is learned and developed. That's a good thing. And David learned a lot of his skill early on as a child of God, as out in the desert, taking care of the sheep, shooing the lions away. He's learning skill. And we need that. We need to understand that it's a good thing to learn a skill that you can use for the Lord. All right. All right, then we come to number 5 here in the passage. God pours out his blessings. David asked for God to bless him. Is it wrong to ask God to bless you? No. But don't presume God will. The key to God's blessings are to walk with him, live faithful for God. Those are the keys to God's blessings. And so David says here, verse number 11, there's a blessing to be delivered from evil influences. Boy, it's a blessing if you haven't been influenced by evil things. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Verse 11, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children. There's these strange children again. Whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Now they speak lies. They tell things that aren't good. They tell lies for their own advantage. God said, David said, deliver me, Lord, from that. Deliver me from those. And the reason he does is because truth is a blessing. Truth is a blessing. It's a blessing to have truth and to know what's right. You know, if you've grown up in church and heard God's word all your life, you're blessed. You're blessed. There's great blessings there. Conversely, if you grew up in a life where you were influenced by strange, weird, ungodly people. And by the way, when a person lives an ungodly life, they get weird. They get crazy, they get off the wall. It's a characteristic of how sin works in people. They just get crazy. We see crazy people in our world today. There's crazy people doing crazy things. What is that influence? The influence is sin. The influence is sin. All right, and then he talks about upon our sons and our daughters to be productive. Notice he talks about that our, verse 13, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, and that our chickens may produce many eggs. Did you see that in Scripture? It's in there somewhere. Amen. Right? Amen. Well, Jerry said that has something to do with strange children. Amen. But you know, David is saying, Lord, deliver us from these evil influences so that we can be blessed in these areas of our life. You know, and it's a picture of sin. You know, sin costs a person. Sin brings a person down. Sin is materially and really financially expensive. I heard a statistic about somebody who smokes cigarettes. The chain smoker over their life will spend $300,000 over a lifetime of cigarettes. Could you think of something productive you could use $300,000 to do? Oh, I think we all could. And then at the end, they get cancer and face all the expenses of that. And you know, it's a picture that sin itself is just not a profitable thing. I mean, you can go to any type of sin or addiction or anything like that and see just how totally it just drains a person of their blessings. They're just drained. And it's sad. And by the way, those people have to go to people who are blessed, or they want to go to people who are blessed, and they wonder, how come they're so blessed?
Yeah, that's right.
And it's the way of sin. Sin has that effect. It's so unprofitable. But then David says this, and I like this, and he's not saying this in a wrong way, verse 14. That our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Now, he's not getting on the people for complaining. He's not, that's not his tone. His tone is that, Lord, everybody recognizes that our needs are met. I'm grateful. There's no need to go to God and say, God, you weren't good to me. He says, Lord, bless our people. Help us to live righteously. And, you know, I like David. He's not asking for himself. He's asking for his people. He's saying, Lord, bless them, that they have their needs met, that there's no need to even complain. And you know, I'll tell you what, the blessed life is that kind of life where there really is no need to complain. Now, sometimes we do anyway, right? Sometimes we do anyway, but we should recognize our blessings. Well, conclusion, verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What a wonderful verse. Blessed people are at peace when we're delivered from our enemies. And God's people can be at peace and alive. You know, the peace that God brings is a peace that passes all understanding. People don't imagine, they can't understand that peace that God brings. But it's a real and a blessed peace. We know God. David experienced it. And for many, many years, God delivered the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistines, from their evil and their influence God brought peace to their life. That's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of salvation. When you get saved, boy, you're in turmoil. But God saves you and delivers you. And as you grow and live for the Lord, God blesses your life more and more. Amen. You know, God understands the growing Christian. When there's a verse in the Bible that talks about God winking at ignorance. God winked at ignorance. What's that mean? What he's saying is, and I believe that sometimes a person lives an evil life. They live in an evil home, but they grow up. They don't know anything about God, nothing about the Bible. And they grow up and they hear the word. They get saved and they don't know a lot of things. They're growing, and it takes years many times to grow in the Lord. And sometimes they do things out of ignorance. And I think God has a compassion for them because while they haven't learned all of what they need, they're still growing and they're still learning. And God, you know, that's an honorable thing. And we need more of that in our world. We need more people who get saved from evil lives and develop a teachable spirit where God can change their life and God can bless their life, because that's exactly what God wants to do. Amen? And happy is the people that is in that condition, in that case. What a blessing. Amen? Well, let's stop right there. Let's pray.